Good evening to you folks out there in internet land. Pastor Gene here. Is it really 1 October? Where in the world is time going? Someone once told me that the older you get, faster time goes by, it seems like. And boy, what a true statement. Well, this evening, we're going to look at the birth of Samson, one of the judges that we've been studying about in Judges, and we're going to get back into the book of Judges. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the honor and the privilege of joining together with your people who are called by your name for the study of your word. This evening, on this 1 of October 2025, we're going to be into the book of Judges, chapter 13. And Father, my prayer for these people never changes. It's the same. I pray, God, that they would have a greater increase in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of your word. I'm asking you to anoint them to glean from this word every little nugget that you would have them to receive here this evening. Father, bless them in their spirit, their soul, their minds, and their bodies. Give them, Father God, an understanding of where we are today concerning the days that we are living in, the latter times, the latter days. Father God, give them the discernment, Father, to look at Israel. Look at what's going on in Israel, Father God. Lord, we can look in your word. And we can see that we are entering into those last days. And all we have to do, Father God, is get in your word, read your word, find out what your word is saying. And Lord, keep our eyes upon Israel to find out what the world is doing with Israel. So Father, as we go into tonight, I'm asking, Lord, to open our ears, our hearts, our eyes, and our minds to receive your truths as they are outlined here in Judges chapter 13. And I ask all of this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, we're going to look at Samson, his birth, to be remembered for what one might have been. Samson had tremendous potential. Not many people have started life with the credentials like his. Born as a result of God's plan in the lives of Manoah and his wife, Samson was to do a great work for God. He was to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He was to help accomplish God's plans. He was given enormous physical strength. And because Samson wasted his strength on practical jokes and getting out of scrapes, he eventually gave it up altogether to satisfy the woman that he loved. We tend to see him as a failure, don't we? We remember him as the judge in Israel who spent his last days grinding grain in an enemy prison. And we say, what wasted potential. Yes, Samson wasted his life. He could have strengthened his nation. He could have returned his people to the worship of God. He could have wiped out the Philistines. But even though he did none of those things, Samson still accomplished the purpose announced by the angel who visited the parents before his birth. In his final act, Samson began to rescue Israel from the Philistines. The New Testament does not mention Samson's failures or his heroic feats of strength. In Hebrews, he simply is listed with the others who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gain what was promised, and in other ways were given superhuman aid. In the end, Samson recognized his dependence on God. When he died, God turned his failures and defeats into victories. Samson's story teaches us that it's never too late for us to put our complete trust in God. Some of the strengths and accomplishments of Samson as we look at him. He was dedicated to God from birth as a Nazarite. And we will look at that later, what that means. He was known for his feats of strength. But he was listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He began to free Israel from the Philistines' oppression. Well, what were some of his weaknesses? Some of his mistakes? Well, he violated his vow and God's law on many occasions. He was controlled by sensuality. He confided in the wrong people. He used his gifts and abilities unwisely. So what can we learn from this life of Samson? Well, one is great strength in one area of life does not make up for great weaknesses in other areas. God's presence does not overwhelm a person's will. God can use a person of faith in spite of his or her mistakes. What were some of the areas where Samson was associated with? Well, he was born in Zorah. He was in the area of Timnah, Ashkelon, Gaza, and the valley of Sorek. His father's name was Manoah. Some of his contemporaries were Delilah and Samuel. Samuel may have been born during the time while Samson was a judge. One of the key verses of this chapter 13 is, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Judges 13 and 5. So his story, Samson's story, we find in Judges 13 through 16. And he's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Okay, so that's some background historical facts on Samson. So let's get into Judges chapter 13, shall we? And during these studies tonight, I will be reading from the New King James Version Bible. Judges chapter 13, the birth of Samson, verse 1. "Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. The Philistines, they lived on the west side of Canaan, along the Mediterranean Sea coast. From Samson's day until the time of David, they were the major enemy force in the land and a constant threat to Israel. The Philistines were fierce warriors. They had advantage over Israel in numbers, tactical experience, and expertise, and in technology. They knew the secret of making weapons out of iron, but none of that mattered when God was fighting for Israel. Once again here, verse 1, we see that cycle of sin again. Judgment and repentance began. The Israelites would not turn to God unless they had been stunned by suffering, oppression, and death. The suffering was not caused by God, but it resulted from the fact that the people ignored God. They ignored God, their judge, their ruler. So we can learn lessons from that. You know, what will it take for us to follow God? The warnings in God's word are clear. If we continue to harden our hearts against God, we can expect the same fate as Israel. Verse 2. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and they had no children. Verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." Verse 4. "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So we know that Samson's father was from the town of Zorah. He was a Danite. So what we have there, that area is located just, they were to the west of Jerusalem toward the Mediterranean seaside. And we said that Samson's father, Manoah, he was a Danite. You have to understand that that tribe of Dan was still down there near Judah, and they have not yet migrated to the north. So the areas that we're going to be looking at here are close to the Mediterranean Sea, Ashkelon, Gaza, Zorah. That Ashkelon and Gaza, you hear about those almost daily in the news today. So that's the area that Samson will be living his life at. And just like many in the Bible that we've read about, Manoah and his wife was barren, unable to bear children. Can you think of others who had the same problem? How about the mother and father of John the Baptist? They weren't unable to have children up in age. How about Abraham and Sarah? So this is nothing new. It has happened many times throughout the Bible. So there was an angel of the Lord that appeared to Manoah's wife. And this angel of the Lord, in this case, it was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord himself. And we find out that this angel told Manoah's wife that she's going to have a son, and the son will be a Nazarite. And he told her, he said, you're barren. You are now barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. And this angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, tells Manoah's wife, says, be careful, don't drink any wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean, because you're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a son. So no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. This word Nazarite, the word is from the Hebrew, means to separate. So Samson was to be a Nazarite, and that was a person who took a vow to be set apart for God's service. Samson's parents made the vow for him. A Nazarite vow was something sometimes temporary, but in Samson's case, it was for life. As a Nazarite, Samson could not cut his hair, touch a dead body, or drink anything containing alcohol. Although Samson often used poor judgment and sinned terribly, he accomplished much when he determined to be set apart for God. And in this way, he was like the nation Israel. As long as Israel remained set apart for God, the nation thrived. But they fell into terrible sin when they ignored God. Manoah's wife was told that her son would be the deliverer of Israel from the Philistines. In other words, he would begin delivering Israel from those Philistines and the oppression that they were under. But it wasn't until David's day that the Philistine opposition was completely crushed. Samson's part in subduing the Philistines was just the beginning, but it was important nonetheless. It was the task God had given Samson to do. Be faithful, child of God, in following God, even if you don't see instant results, because you might be the beginning of an important job that others will finish. Verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me. His countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name." Verse 7. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day had just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said unto him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. But what will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please, let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So what's going on here? Well, we know that the wife of Manoah came to him and told him, hey, this man appeared to me from God and said, we're going to have a son, and he's going to be a Nazarite, and told me I'm not to eat anything from the vine or drink anything or strong drink like that or do anything that would defile me while I'm with son. Manoah said, okay, well, I'm going to pray to God. And he did pray to God. So Manoah entreated the Lord and said, Lord, please let the man of God whom you have sent to us again, have him come to us again that he may teach us to do for the boy who is to be born. So God said, okay. He sent the angel of God again to the woman, and she was out there sitting in the field alone, and her husband was not with her at that time. So the woman quickly ran and got her husband Manoah, and he arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, and he asked him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, well, when your words come to pass, what shall the boy's mode of life and his vocation be? And the angel of the Lord said, let the woman pay attention to all that I have said to her. God had already told the woman what she is to do. It doesn't matter what the vocation or anything like that is going to be. The important thing is that you obey what I have told you, woman. Then he reemphasizes that she should not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine, nor strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. Let her observe all that I commanded. And then so Manoah urges the angel of the Lord, and he said, hey, stay here. Let us detain you that I may prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord told Manoah, he said, well, you can detain me all you want, but I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. Because at that time, Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to him, he said, what's your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took a young goat with a grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. So what's happening here? Well, in verse 16, when Manoah told him, I'm going to offer this up to you, Manoah needed this explanation because he was going to offer this to him, not as the Lord himself. or even an angel, but just a human messenger. In other words, Manoah thought that this man was just a human messenger. So he was going to prepare him something to eat before he left and went on his way. But this is more than just a human messenger. This is the Lord himself. And that's why he said, I won't eat anything, but if you're going to do that, then offer it to the Lord. And when he asked him, he said, well, what's your name? This secret name is again indicative that the angel is in fact the Lord. So why do you think that this angel here kept his name a secret? Or why did the Lord keep his name a secret? In those days, people believed that if they knew someone's name, they knew his character and how to control him. By not giving his name, the angel was not allowing himself to be controlled by Manoah. He was also saying that his name was a mystery beyond understanding and too wonderful to imagine. Manoah asked the angel for an answer that he wouldn't have understood. Sometimes we ask God questions and then receive no answer. This may not be because God is saying no. We may have asked for knowledge beyond our ability to understand and accept it. So Manoah sacrificed a grain offering to the Lord. A grain offering was grain, oil, and flour shaped into a cake and burned it on the altar along with the burnt offering, the young goat. The grain offering was offered to God as a sign of honor, respect, and worship. It was an acknowledgement that because the Israelites' food came from God, they owned their lives to him. With the grain offering, Manoah showed his desire to serve God and demonstrated his respect. Verse 19 again. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. Verse 20. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. So the angel of the Lord would not divulge his name. You remember one time that the angel of God, whom Jacob encountered, who likewise did not give his name. In verse 20 there, when the flame went up toward heaven, this miraculous act points to divine acceptance of the offering. And when Manoah said to his wife, we will surely die, this reaction of the fear of death is familiar with those who come into God's presence. Many did die when facing God, as the Old Testament records. It is the terror in the heart of the sinner when in the presence of holy God. Verse 22 again. So when Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife turned to him and said, said to him, verse 23, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. Verse 24, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanaim, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson's tribe, Dan, continued to wander in their inherited land, which was yet unconquered. Samson must have grown up with his warlike tribe's yearnings for a permanent and settled territory. Thus his visit to the tribe, or his visit to the tribal army camp, stirred his heart, and God's Spirit began preparing him for his role as judge and leader against the Philistines. Well, perhaps there are things that stir us in our hearts. These may indicate areas where God wants to use us. God uses a variety of means to develop and prepare us, doesn't he? Hereditary traits, environmental influences, personal experiences. And as with Samson, this preparation often begins long before adulthood. So we should work at being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and to the task that God has prepared for you. Your past may be more useful to you than you have ever imagined. Well, folks, we're going to stop there for tonight. Now you know who Samson is. We're going to find out next week some of the stuff that he does. But until that time, take what you've heard tonight, hide it in your heart. Father, I thank you once again for this honor and this privilege of gathering around your word, sharing it with your people who are called by your name. Lord, let us be ever so mindful of the days and the times that we are living in, to keep focused upon what's going on with Israel. And Lord, help us, each individual, grow closer and closer to you. Help us, Father God, in these latter days, to grow close, not fall away. Because we know, Father God, that we can see the day we're living in. One of the signs that you say there will be a great falling away. Lord, we're seeing that every day. A great falling away of the people of God, those who call themselves the church of God. A coldness in their hearts and a falling away. Father, your word tells that this will happen in the last days. I just pray, Father God, that those within earshot of this Bible study tonight will not be one of those who falls away. But Father God, will be one of those who hears your word and acts. Lord, bless this word. Bless these people, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, until we meet again, may God bless you and yours really good. Good night.